You know, John, I think it's safe to say that when you have a disaster as momentous and significant as Katrina, that's something that places a gash on a community or a city that's not. It takes a while to heal.
Well, there are things about Katrina that were very unique. The breakdown of the system at the federal level, of course, causes an additional wound.
The
fact that, as Harry Shearer on this program says, you know, this is a man-made disaster. This was not a storm. He's a resident of New Orleans. He knows it. And, of course, the biggest wound of all is what we're going to talk about this morning.
That's right. In the days after Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans was a chaotic. It was a place. It was a scary place for a number of reasons.
There was no protection.
That's right. And resident Terry Benjamin is here. This is him in the days afterwards talking about what it was like in New Orleans.
First day I went out looking for supplies, and that's when I found that grocery store and I got all those supplies. The next day is when I started seeing all these white men on the back of pickup trucks with guns, and I decided that it was time to get the kids out, that I was seeing too many guns at that point.
And there may have been too many guns in New Orleans. Six men, both current and former officers of the New Orleans Police Department, were charged yesterday with the killing of unarmed civilians on the Danziger Bridge in an incident that occurred days after Hurricane Katrina. No one denies the police took a call that said officers were under fire at the Danziger Bridge. No one disputes that the people who were walking across the bridge at that point, across the broad 7-lane bridge, that the citizens who were shot by the police were unarmed. What's at issue in this case is what was in the minds of the officers who sprayed the Bartholomew family with bullets, killing a 17-year-old at the eastern part of the bridge, or why one officer blasted Ronald Madison in the back with a shotgun. Madison was then kicked and stomped as he lay dying. Four of the six officers who are indicted by the federal government are part of the so-called Danziger Seven. They could face the death penalty if they're found guilty.
Of the murders and of the cover-up. So there's a lot going on.
Exactly. Here. Joining us again, A.C. Thompson, staff reporter for ProPublica. He helped break the story when the police failed to act on the case. So tell me a little bit about the new evidence that we have. You talked about it earlier in terms of dealing with the cover-up. What other new evidence do we have in the Danziger Bridge incident?
What's clear about what's going on now with the new wave of indictments is that the other officers who were charged earlier, the five officers who already pled guilty, that they are speaking to federal investigators, and they were at the scene, they were at the bridge, most of them, and they're saying, hey, look, this is what happened that day. This is who did what. And the officers who came later who've already pled guilty are saying, hey, this is what went down with the cover-up. This is how it all played out. These are the different roles the different officers played in the cover-up. And so it's a very different case than the state case, which was not built that way. It was not built with the help of officers who were cooperating.
All right, let's talk about the charges against these six men who were included in the indictment yesterday. Can you explain, the four of them are for the Danziger Seven, and then there is two that are sergeants. What are they charged with?
Yes, so that's one of the really interesting things. The sergeants, Gerard Duguay and Archie Kaufman, these are homicide investigators who are charged with fabricating witnesses, fabricating a 54-page police report that's full of things that they knew were lies, with fabricating false statements from the people who were shot, Susan Bartholomew and Leonard Bartholomew, putting words in their mouths that they didn't say. They're charged with lying to federal investigators. So that's one of the new things in the federal case.
And the other four men who were actually accused of taking part in this incident, are there new charges against them?
You know, what we're looking at here is more detail and more specificity in the charges against the officers who fired the shots than you saw before. And so the charges are similar, but there's clearly more investigation that's been done in more detail.
I found it striking, Eric Holder's tone during his press conference yesterday. You reported that the New Orleans Police Department is now the subject of at least eight investigations into civil rights violations after Katrina. But here's what Eric Holder had to say yesterday.
We are here to make a difference. But let me make one thing very, very clear. We take this extremely seriously. This is a priority for this Department of Justice, and we're bound and determined to see this thing through.
You know, in an era in which Farouk Abdulmutallab is about to go to court in Detroit over terrorism charges, people might wonder why the Department of Justice is making Katrina a priority. Is this about Eric Holder trying to heal wounds in New Orleans?
What I think is going on here is that The New Orleans Police Department has long stood out as one of the most troubled police forces in America. And Eric Holder and Thomas Perez, who's the head of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, are both familiar with the NOPD from their earlier time at the Justice Department. And when they started seeing these headlines and started talking to the people on the ground there about what was going on when they came back to the public service, they made it a priority. And part of why they've made it a priority is that the mayor of New Orleans said, please, we need help with this. This is a serious problem, and I'd like you to come in and do a systemic review of the department and see exactly why these kind of things are happening, why we have 8 ongoing investigations into criminal activity by the police department.
Well, you quoted the mayor, Mitch Landrieu, as saying, I've inherited what's described by many as one of the worst police departments in the country. But can the Department of Justice accomplish this, do you think? Of all the unhealed wounds in New Orleans, of all the ways in which the people there feel that the federal government, the state government, failed them, can this bring some measure of peace to them, do you think?
I think that it's going to open old wounds, but it also has the possibility to bring some healing and bring some peace. I mean, what you've seen in these cases, the Danziger case and the Henry Glover case, who was a man, a New Orleans man, who was allegedly shot by police, and his body was then burned up by police and left in a car behind a police station. These cases have upset, disturbed, horrified New Orleans citizens for the last 5 years, and they've wondered, hey, how did these things happen? How do we get 6 people who get shot on a bridge one day? How do we get this guy who gets killed and burnt up behind the police station? What is going on with our law enforcement here? And so I think that the cases have the potential to make people in New Orleans, especially people in the African-American community, who are the victims in these 2 cases, feel that, hey, somebody's starting to pay attention to what's been going on here for 15 years.
A.C. Thompson is a staff reporter for ProPublica, and we want to hear from New Orleans residents. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is a priority for the Obama administration. What else needs to be a priority? What else will help the people of New Orleans find some measure of peace or justice?
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.